Boom. Shakalaka. Hey, and welcome to episode 290 of the Crippled System Podcast. My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no, yeah, that's not our... Well, dang it, I need to double check what my name is. We're well prepared.
Very well prepared.
Listen, I'm not bilingual. And if I'm going to culturally appropriate, I at least want to have the correct language for
it. Culturally appropriate? Nah, it is a wrestling thing. I mean, it is.
It's fine. Let me... Carpincho Enojado. That's what I was. Carpincho Enojado.
I have to double check because I've mentioned mine like a ton of times, but mine is... I did tag us on Twitter for it, though.
Did you?
Yeah. So you didn't make a Twitter handle for your persona, did you?
I did not.
I did. mine is El Diablo Barbudo.
Is that the bearded devil?
That is the bearded devil.
Oh, I'm the angry capybara.
Yeah. So, yeah, hey, welcome to Crippled System again.
Yeah.
Mention it. WTC happened?
It did happen. Congrats to insert winner here. It was Norway, wasn't it?
I believe it was Norway.
Yeah. Congratulations, Norway.
I know the U.S. placed fifth.
Yep.
They had a record of 5-1.
East, I believe.
Was it East?
Okay. It was East, yeah. It was East. I'm not sure how North and West did, but yeah. But congratulations to everybody who attended, no matter what ranking they got. It's always exciting to go to such an event. And, you know, it's the joy we make along the way that's the true trophy.
I want to go to that. I know Guild Ball also had their WTC event, and I am unsure who actually won that. I believe it was between France and Germany, I think it was. So we could insert horrible World War II meme into here.
Or World War One.
Or World War One. But no, I'm not sure who actually won that match either. So,
yeah, if I was smarter, I'd have like a Maginot Line reference, but oh well. I don't know enough about Guild Ball to figure out how it would be appropriate.
Yeah.
But I do know that next year the War Machine Hordes WTC is going to be in Warsaw, Poland. So that'll be exciting. I think was it in Poland before?
Yeah, it's been there before. Yeah. I think one of the years that Keith had gone, it was in Warsaw. I think it was there last year. But yeah.
Just kind of alternates back and forth between Belgium and Poland.
Yeah. It seems like it.
And occasionally goes up to Amsterdam. Or at least people going there go up to Amsterdam.
Correct.
But Europe's small. You can road trip up to Amsterdam. That's what I did when I was visiting my uncle in Germany. We just drove up to Amsterdam for the day.
That's kind of the odd thing. I mean, when you compare the population densities between, you know, Europe and over here, I mean, we all have basically the same amount of landmass, but it's so spread out. I mean, like...
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, Europe has the landmass of America, so that when you think about it, like, if you're in Germany and you want to drive to Amsterdam, that's like living in Wisconsin and just driving to Chicago. Like, it's not really a big deal. Like, it's a couple hours there and a couple hours back, but it's not as big of a deal as driving to another country feels like for an American.
Yeah, like, for us, if we wanted to drive to what we would consider the equivalent of Amsterdam, Vegas, maybe?
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, driving from Wisconsin to Vegas is not feasible.
Well, sure, and I mean you're probably not going to drive from Portugal to Amsterdam, you know. So it kind of depends on where you are.
Fair,
yeah,
very fair.
But yeah, so you know, congrats to everybody. Looked like it was a good fun event.
It appears that Steam is on here, so that probably screwed over part of the.
Damn it, Steam.
That's not good either.
Damn it, thing.
And I'm also running it off of the frickin' Wi-Fi.
Damn it, Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I should double check the stream to see if it's going okay.
Everything's wonderful.
Yeah, it seems like it's... I don't see any errors on it, so it should be okay.
Yeah, we'll assume it's fine. Yeah. Quality control, that's what we're all about here.
Yep.
Actually, our quality's always been pretty good. It's our content that's terrible.
Yeah, that's what I tell everybody about our podcast, is that, you know, sound-wise, we sound good. you know, but what we talk about is just the shit. I like you have too many ribbons.
My ribbons get caught on my horns.
They do.
Wings, ears, whatever they may be. Oh, but announcements. We have a major announcement that I just double-checked that it's cool to talk about, that people have been waiting a long time for, which is that we can officially announce the date and venue and et cetera for the ATC for next year, the upcoming ATC, which is that we will be at Adepticon. So if you're attending Adepticon, you can go ahead and already be planning on being there, and you can sign up for the ATC. If you have not already signed up for Adepticon, feel free to do so. I know it's still available to attend to, but ATC will be held at Adepticon. So if you are sick of Milwaukee in February, good news. It is now Chicago at the end of March, almost April. So it's going to be springtime instead of the dead of winter.
Yeah. No, that's I mean, that's really cool news. We've been sitting on that for a while, waiting for that to come out.
Well, those T's had to be dotted and those I's had to be crossed, and once that was all taken care of, we could go forward with it. You know how bureaucracy is. But the good news is this isn't like a one-off thing. Hopefully this will be just an ongoing thing, and we will become just a staple of the Adepticon lineup, which would be wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plenty of parking, obviously, so.
Yeah, yeah. If you're there, it's at 4 a.m.
Just take the shuttle.
Yeah, it's not so bad. I mean, they were talking about moving and creating a whole new parking area since last year. So,
which would be nice. Yeah, because they did the shuttle last year, which was very helpful. But no, it's a good location where it is. Nice hotel. Kuma's Corner is nearby, and if you like burgers and or mac and cheese, yum, Kuma's Corner.
Yeah. Any other announcements? We've got Game Hole Con. That's happening at the end of this month or this coming month, technically.
According to my emails, I think pre-registration is ending soon. Although that was when I got the email like a week ago, so maybe sure. Pre-registration has ended. I'm not certain. I it was not topical for me.
Yeah, no, Game Hole Con, the Warfare Weekend, it is topical for us because I am helping run the painting competition there, and you have your
Twilight Imperium tournament. Good yep. Times. Very excited about that. You know what? I can probably announce the races that we're going to use this year, too. I just have to figure them out. Give me 30 seconds. Vamp. Vamp.
What?
You're not vamping.
No, I'm not. So one thing I did yesterday is I went out to Lansing, Michigan. I drove 6 hours to go watch a pro wrestling show from that somebody that I had known since the year 2000, basically around 1999. Somebody I've known since last century. Back then, I had created a small wrestling federation with some friends. It was a kind of like it was just an online federation. Other two friends, we all created characters. We let the computer fight those fights. And then we determined, you know, who got the belt. And then eventually my friend Sean ended up writing stories for them. We started posting them and we got people to check out our e-federation. It got really popular. There was a lot of people who wanted to join our e-federation. So then what happened is then we opened up another e-federation that would be just for the fans that they would then try to vie to get into our federation. That guy was the one that ran that federation, which was basically the whole thing was called the MOW, which is the Mad Men of Wrestling. And he was in charge of the MOW Slaughterhouse. That's what our feeder federation we called was.
Sure.
He ran that. He was like 14, 15 when he ran that. That Slaughterhouse got really popular. So then there was another feeder federation made for that, for the Slaughterhouse, which was called like MOW Extreme. And
so you had a feeder federation for your feeder federation for your federation.
Yes.
Okay.
And eventually there was more people, the Extreme filled up, so they had another feeder federation for the Slaughterhouse. we had other people joining in ours. It would have been actually something really big if I would have, you know, kept up with it, but we all abandoned it after a while. But anyway, long story long, the guy named Zach, he now is a professional wrestler.
Nice.
I mean, and he helps book a federation, Capital Pro Wrestling up in Lansing, Michigan. So he books the matches there. So he's the one who does all of the behind the scenes things to try to start up feuds and things like that.
You mean feuds start naturally?
Oh yes, feuds start naturally. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Keyforge.
No, it's not Keyforge.
Keyforge.
But
Break
yeah.
Key.
Yeah, ran into which he calls himself George Mack. He's a fucking big guy, and yeah,
I can't stop looking at myself.
I was thinking about putting it there, so at least if you're looking at yourself, you're looking at the camera, and that's why I put the chat right there too. So you're kind of looking at the camera, but there appears to be nobody in chat today. So
chat's a little sluggish this morning.
Well, they were probably expecting us to go live at 4, like last week.
We put out that we were going live at the 6s.
Yeah, we did.
We even specified the Central Daylight Time.
And asked for a whole bunch of people to ask questions. We do have a ton of questions.
My question currently is, which of these 6 races should I replace with the Arborok?
That's a question for you, because I have played... I know how to play.
You have won a game of Twilight Imperium 4th Edition that I was involved in, so don't you sell short.
No, I'm not selling short.
The first game you played
of
TI4, you did really badly because you didn't quite fully grasp how best to leverage your race, which is an important thing. Like, you got the concept of the game, but your race just didn't sink in until the end of the game, and then you're like, holy crap, now I know how to play those people. Yeah. And I took advantage of your learning and crushed my next game as that race because I learned everything
you learned
during the game. Yeah,
you play the turtles like turtles, and then...
But then the next time you played, I forget who you were the next time you played, but you ended up winning.
I had like, well, the thing is, I had also had like 50,000 secret agendas. That's where I got almost all my points on. Yeah, no, I'm not saying...
You had 3 at most.
Yeah. I know I've won previous Twilight Imperiums. What I was meaning to say is I don't know the races very well. To be able to tell you which ones to take.
3 of these randomly generated ones are starter races, so I think I'll drop one of them. Probably the cats. The cats are like the mascots of Twilight Imperium.
Nobody likes them.
Yeah. Well, they're jerks.
Speaking of cats, did you see the meme picture of proof that cats don't always land on their feet?
No.
It's just a picture of Mufasa falling.
Oh, no. Well, he might have landed on his feet. It's just that he was trampled to death by
gazelle.
No, they're the bigger dudes, the like water buffalo, wildebeest. Wildebeest was the word I was looking for.
Oh, your phone is reflecting.
Oh no, phone! Don't do that.
Not the green screen.
Does it look
at
like
all?
Yeah.
We don't have this expensive green banner
that we paid for.
Yeah, look at the Crippled System logo. My hand just slightly kind of has like a weird shadow on it.
This banner we paid for can do neat tricks, though.
Yeah, it can. So you're talking about moving one of the starting races.
Yeah, I think maybe if I drop the cats, then currently what I have here would be Federation of Soul, the Ghosts of Krios. Those are the ones that have the extra wormhole, and their home planet is actually off the board.
Oh, I thought the Ghosts of Krios are the ones that they pop their feet and knocks all the other ships down?
Correct. Yes, okay. That's what they do. The Sardak Nor, who were the other one I might drop because they're the worst race, but they might only be the worst race because... No, they're just flat out the worst race. Poor Sardak Nor. You know what's great in Twilight Imperium 4th Edition? Starting with zero technology.
What is their advantage then? +1
on all their combat rolls. So they're really good at the part of the game that you're not actually supposed to participate in because it's a trap. But the problem with the issue with the Sardak Nor is that I think even though they may be the weakest race, they aren't as much the weakest race as their stats make them look, because their stats have an inflated number of games against the Jolnar, because since they're a starter race and you have Jolnar just crushing them, because these people that start with four techs and get four a turn versus these guys that start with zero and get one, maybe two per turn, it's just not a fair comparison. So I wonder if it weren't for the starter six races and if all games were either randomly generated or intelligently chosen, if the Sardaukar Nor would have a higher win percentage than they currently do.
Fair. Yeah.
Because basically it's like if you had your starter heroes and Superman had really bad stats because in the starter set he always played against Captain Made Out of Kryptonite. And it's like, well, that's not a fair indication of how powerful Superman is.
Have you seen the Brandon Routh Kingdom Come?
I did. I almost sent you the picture of him in the Kingdom because I figured you had already seen it.
I have. I think I'm the rare person on the podcast that actually likes Superman. And speaking of superheroes, fucking Spider-Man is back in the MCU finally.
Yeah, those crazy kids managed to figure out that getting billions of dollars is pretty good for you.
For both companies.
Yeah. Although the Disney counteroffer is pretty bullshit. Like, it looked nice on its face, like their original one, where they're you know, we split the payment 50-50 and then split the profits 50-50? It's like the profits are 10 times bigger than the payment, so you're making out like a bandit here.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were also trying to. They were trying to say, yeah, we're gonna split the actual cost of the film.
That's what I meant by payment. Yeah, cost. Sure. Sorry, yeah. Sure. It's like you are increasing your expense way less than you're increasing your profit with this change, even though you're claiming, oh, it's 50-50, right? It's fair. Anyway, to finish this, if I keep Sardaukar Nor and I drop the Emirates of Hakan instead, then we would have the six races be Federation of Sol, Ghosts of Kreuz, Sardaukar Nor, the Arborok, the Lizik Mind Net, or the L1Z1X Mind Net, if you want to be specific, and then the Yasarl Tribe, which, God, I love the Yasarl Tribe in third edition. They did weaken them a bit in fourth, which they kind of needed to. Those are the golem-looking guys that can skip their turn without passing.
Oh, sure, sure. Oh, so then, yeah, so they can set up the late turn shenanigans. Yeah.
They made it now, like, before they could do it every alternate turn it came to them was how it worked in third edition, so they just went each alternate time it came back to them. In fourth, they can do it every single time, but they have to discard an action card to do so. So there's a cost, which really, I think, fairly balances it. But I think I like that lineup.
I didn't realize it. So I installed IMDb, and now it's giving me updates.
Oh, no. Don't install any apps ever.
But
every time you go to IMDb, it's like, do you want to install the app? The answer is no. Same with Reddit. You go to Reddit, it's like, would you like to open this in the Reddit app? And the answer is, go fuck yourself.
Well, I had IMDb because it was included in my other phone, so it was less intrusive. But now it's just continuously giving me updates, and then I just saw that there's a new War of the Worlds.
Yeah, the British one that actually takes place during the time period that the book was written.
Oh, so that would be in the 20s and 30s?
No, it was late 1800s.
Was it?
Yeah, it's Victorian. It's like 1895, I think.
I thought H.G. Wells was the one who... Because it didn't War of the Worlds just start off as a radio drama?
No. No. The radio adaptation of it famously, supposedly instilled a panic, although some people claim that didn't actually happen to the extent that it did. But it's famous as being a radio thing, but its original release, let me double check when the book came out, but I think it's like late
1800s.
1897 was when World of the Worlds was released. Time Machine was 1895.
Interesting. That's cool. I thought it was like the 30s, or basically, I thought it was...
It was Victorian era.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, interesting. That's kind of cool.
But yeah, so, you know, seeing Downton Abbey era British people with cannons trying to fight against the tripods.
That'll be very interesting. I wish the movie was better, but man, Sky Captain had such a great premise of it. I like that that style of sci-fi where, you know, they just continued as if, you know, because that was the style back in the 50s and 60s, right? And that what they thought the future would be like. And man, that was just, I haven't watched it recently, so I can't, I don't know if it's still good, but as in special effects wise,
yeah.
Do they utilize crappy green screens?
I don't respect people who use green screens.
I don't either. I should show off what those lights look like. Those things are fucking bright as hell.
I'm playing with my ribbons. Yeah, so did I finish my list? Yeah, I think I'm going to go with that. I think that I am going to go with that. Oh, I lost the screen. Where are they? Oh, Nathan. Oh, luckily we have this recording, so I can always go back and see what it is. Where the...
I should mention, though, that the reason why David's not here is because Cassie, his wife, has a birthday. So happy birthday to Cassie. I don't know if he wanted that to be public knowledge, but now it is.
Welp, I don't remember what those races were, so I'll have to listen to this later. Because apparently when I searched for H.G. Wells, it just blarg. If I like Google a website and then go to that website, it stays like in the Google app instead of opening it in the thing. And then like there's no like history of that as that's as good as just like if I open up my Chrome history, I can just go to a previous page.
But you can open up all your programs.
It has my search history. So I see where I searched for the app that I used.
You might be able to just open up like the square.
What?
The square down there?
No, I understand opening up my apps.
Oh, that would be like recent apps. I've done it sometimes too, where there's been like an internet one.
No, but my point is, it wasn't in the internet because I went into the Google app and I googled the race generator, and then I went to the race generator, and so it stays within this Google app, which, unlike the internet app, it doesn't keep like a history of where I was.
Yeah.
It keeps a history of the searches I did, but I don't care about the search I did. I care about the races I just announced. Well, maybe those won't be the races. It depends on if I'm lazy enough, if I bother to relook up this. Do I have to listen to my own podcast? That's a lot more effort than just randomizing new races.
And you made me vamp, too, to make that come up.
No, I remember who it was. I remember. It was Federation of Soul, The Ghosts of Creus, Sardek Nor, Arborek, Lizic Mindset, and Ysaril Tribes.
Okay.
That seems like a decent spread. I like that spread. There's nobody too funky like the fucking Neko virus.
Yeah, those guys are just consumed technology from everybody else.
Yeah, the ones that have to fight everything. I mean, they're cool. They're interesting, but they just might warp the format a little more than I want them to.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, we one of the games that we had, somebody just didn't play them at all well. It was one of the worst experiences.
They seem like a really like pro level. Like the group needs to know how to deal with them, including the person playing them.
Yeah,
like them existing in the game will raise the required skill level by a letter grade. You know, and even though this is going to be an event for experienced players, it's still that would kind of just warp things forward.
Well, I mean, we can. If you have anything else, did you have anything else that popped up recently?
I mean, those are the big announcements.
Do we have any other announcements? No. Well, there's a team tournament thingy.
In Iowa?
Yeah, there's a team tournament in Iowa, and there's one in Michigan.
Correct. There's the five-player team event in Michigan, and that's the not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, so like the 7th, 8th, 9th, or whatever. And then the weekend after that is a three-person team event in Iowa.
That seems easier to potentially manage.
Yes.
For players going. I know I couldn't get the Monday off because for some odd reason the Michigan GT decided to have the team event on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which
Solo event is Saturday, the team event Sunday. And the thing is, the team event, because of the whole matchup mechanic, takes longer, and so it seems like that should have been the Saturday event and then the solo Sunday, but it's not my convention.
I mean all games are supposed to be going, you know, 2 hours. I mean, technically that's what the death clock is, but it's like a half hour of assigning tables and assigning players and getting everybody set up and then getting people running
and then driving home.
Which I just did. I forgot to mention. So I drove to Lansing. I started at 7 o'clock in the morning, got there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm an old man. I have to pee a lot on the road.
It goes up an hour, right? So that's 7 hours, but really only six. It was a 6-hour drive, and then you lost an hour to the time. Sure. Yep.
On the way back, I was originally going to just stay at a hotel there, and then I thought I'll just save money and just drive home. But then I hung out with Zach for until like 11 o'clock. We went to some, there's some like local kind of just burger joint. And I had a bison burger. I've never had a bison burger before.
Bison burgers are pretty good. Burger's one of the best ways to use bison, in my opinion, because that's a lean meat.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it a lot. Yeah, I was out there until 11, and then I decided to drive back. And then I did not make it all the way back, because I ended up stopping somewhere close to Chicago with like three hours left. And then I slept, and it felt like I slept for 5 minutes. It turns out it was like an hour and a half.
Sure.
And I was then up and ready to go.
If you had rented or borrowed somebody's pickup truck, you could have stopped on the way in Iowa or in Indiana, Idaho, Indiana. Wherever. Yeah. And you could have gotten your Blood Bowl table.
Yeah, no. I think I've already said that. Didn't I talk about that last week?
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, I feel bad because I haven't gotten it yet. I still need to get it.
I believe in you.
One of these days I'll get it. I'm surprised Jim's not in the chat, though.
Oh!
I don't think anybody saw it because your microphone is blocking that.
Me chin's naked.
Is it? It's kind of hairy. I wouldn't consider that being naked.
Well, I mean, you can be naked and hairy.
Fair.
Like, I don't care how hirsute you are, you can be arrested for indecent exposure.
True. Yeah, I saw The Hangover.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we should probably just jump into questions.
Yeah, you didn't put the video up behind us, the one I sent you.
Oh.
You should put that up during the question period.
It's going to take me a while.
This is effort.
So this is a new setup. I was just messing around to see if we can actually set up something with like a green screen and that. It's going to have to be moved if we're going to actually use it for the future. Because it's taken up half the podcast set.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Yeah, but this is something that originally I was gonna want to do for like movie Pain Trains,
mm-hmm.
something mm-hmm. where we could show the trailer behind us, mm-hmm. and then we could be talking about it in front, and that way they can't demonetize it.
Well, they could.
They could still, but it's definitely making sure it's that more difficult. We have our thumbprint on it, as in it's under fair use.
It'd also be handy if we're like talking about like spoilers and stuff that have like when they do the talks and mm-hmm. they show like an actual card or a stat or something, you could put it up on the screen and then you could actually point and say, look, he's got Pathfinder, and you can point at the Pathfinder symbol.
Mm-hmm.
That took a lot more effort to talk about than it needed to.
Yes.
Zappity.
All right. Let's go through some of the questions here. Do you listen to audiobooks? And if so, what are some of your favorite?
I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks recently because, so Audible gives you one free credit per month. And at work, we have a book club that reads one book per month. So it works out nicely that whatever the book club is supposed to be reading, I just download it as an audiobook and listen to it on my commute. And there were a couple good ones that we did recently. One of which, annoyingly, my brain won't let me get the title of it.
It's like you're having a stroke trying to touch your phone.
I couldn't remember where the Audible app was, so my finger was hovering while I looked for it. Well, because the first one that we did was called 40 Autumns, which is actually a really interesting nonfiction book where this woman writes about her family, some of which was still behind the Iron Curtain and some of which had made it into America from East Germany over the 40 years that East Germany existed.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she talks about her grandparents and her aunts and uncles and her cousins back in East Germany, and then her mother who escaped and grew up and then raised her in America. And so that was a very interesting one, 40 Autumns. It was nice because it talks about the history of the Cold War, but in a very personal level instead of just being cold statistics.
Hmm.
And then the other one, trying to find Artemis. That's what it was. So Artemis, it's by the author of The Martian. So it has that – it's a fictional story, but it has the accurate like science of space that The Martian has.
Sure.
But it's basically like a film noir pulpy detective story and also an Ocean's 11 style heist story rolled into one set on the moon with accurate science. So it's like a dome city. That's what Artemis is. It's a dome city on the moon. And it goes into what you would need for people to survive there, how the air purification works, you know, the fact that the moon has a lot of aluminum ore. So one of the main trades would be aluminum. And when you smelt aluminum, oxygen is a byproduct. So that's where the air comes from. So it turns out that if you had a city on the moon, it wouldn't be an issue. Like, they would actually have a surplus of oxygen. So even though we might think that that would be a problem with colonizing the moon, actually wouldn't be an issue. But it was very interesting. I enjoyed it very much. So Artemis, if you want a fiction, and 40 Autumns, if you want a nonfiction.
I don't know how to read.
Well, that's what audiobooks are for.
No, I don't actually listen to any audiobooks, unless I'm being forced to while driving down to Gen Con.
Well, maybe we'll do that.
No. Oh, my God. Yeah, so I don't know if I mentioned it on a podcast, but yeah, it's one of the worst things in the world is when you're being forced to listen to an audiobook. Because you know what you don't do? What you normally do on long trips is you're supposed to keep the driver entertained by, you know, either talking about music, talking about other things. You're supposed to talk, you know, and that. You know what you don't do during an audiobook?
Sit silently and listen to a story.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, that's what you don't do during a drive, but that's what you do during an audiobook.
Do-do.
Was it at least, did they start from the beginning, or was it an audiobook they were halfway through, and so they just continued it with you in the car?
It was continued with me in the car. It started off really well. I mean, like, the trip was going well, and like, and then they're like, hey, this is fun. Do you want to listen to an audiobook? And I'm like,
no.
Oh, I guess it's happening. Oh. Yeah. Nathan knows who I'm talking about. Yeah.
So. But between the two of us, we recommended one book each, so that worked out.
Yeah.
I recommended two, you recommended zero. That's math.
Yeah. I mean, the book that was in that audiobook was like some weird sci-fi one, so I don't know. It's like some kind of weird sci-fi detective story thingy. It wasn't Dresden.
Were there trains and giant spiders involved?
I passed out.
Okay, because the Quad Rail series is written by Timothy Zahn, the guy who wrote what are famously considered the three best Star Wars novels, the ones with Grand Admiral Thrawn.
I know what those are. Yeah,
yeah, they're the three,
the
like the
Thrawn trilogy.
So Timothy Zahn, who wrote that, wrote a 5-book series called the Quad Rail series. That's about, it's basically like that style, the hard-boiled detective in space, but they're on trains. Because instead of like hyperspace, there's hyperspace, but only like you can't just fly. You have to ride these trains that are hooked up between wormholes. It was neat. And hello to Menoth John in chat.
Yeah. Hey. Haven't seen you for a long
time. Podfather.
It's been a hot minute. I know he's streaming on Wednesdays sometimes, I believe.
Nice.
I've been playing too much WoW, so I have not been paying attention. So all right, so yeah, that's audiobooks. Brian Sin asks, if you made a movie about all of the non-animated Jokers, what would be the plot be and how awesome would it be? I mean, there's technically only 4 non-animated Jokers.
Well, depends how. No, there's more than that.
Non-animated?
Yeah, so we have the Joaquin Phoenix one. Mm-hmm. Before that was the Jared Leto one.
Oh, fuck. That's what I left completely out. I threw. Yeah, Jared Leto,
and then Heath Ledger, and Jack Nicholson, and Cesar Romero, and there was a couple others, but we're talking like in the 40s when they had like the Batman serials in the theaters. But not to dismiss those people for their hard work, but they don't count, and nobody cares. I don't know. I think you'd have to do some kind of like Into the Spider-Verse style thing where they're each a Joker from their own realm.
Well, DC's answer to that is basically all the worlds exist. There's not really a kind of like a multiverse in a sense.
So are they like planets?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, multiverse, they do all exist.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think they are set up like a multiverse in that. Maybe Marvel's the one who stole it from them.
So my imagination would be, it could almost be like a one-style thing. Because so one of the things about the Joker is that he never wants to kill Batman because Batman is like his counterpart, is yin to his yang, and he can't mm-hmm. live without that balance. He mm-hmm. needs him, right?
Yep.
You know, it may it's so imagine if you had some kind of being that was traveling through multiverses.
Okay.
Murdering Batman.
Is it like the one?
You like the one. And so
does Bruce Wayne get to start over with his family at the end?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
creepily is an old man going up well, to
they drop him in right at the moment that the other Bruce Wayne's parents get murdered. So he has to take over right there. But yeah, so then these Jokers find out about it, and so they decide they need to find out who's doing it and stop them. Like, all of their Batmen have been killed, and so they've got nothing to lose, and they come together to try to stop this thing from continuing on its Batman killing rampage. That's what I'm going with.
Okay, okay. I'd like to think it's like an Ocean's 11 heist thing. And we're slowly introducing all the Jokers as we go into the episode, and then just nothing happens. Because the whole story would just be adding all the Jokers in there until then they beat Jared Leto's Joker up.
And then the others go, ooh, no, never mind, I'm out. And they all just leave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Soon as Jared Leto's Joker shows up, they're like, ooh.
I got a damage tattoo. All right, kid, we're out. Plan's off.
Yeah, yeah, it's... I still have yet to watch Suicide Squad.
It's surprisingly terrible.
Okay.
Like, you know it's bad, but it's even worse than you think it's going to be.
Yeah, I heard, like, one of the characters gets killed off screen or is,
nobody
like, introduced.
Gets killed off screen. So, because this is even in the universe. So, the person in charge of the Suicide Squad introduces all of the members of the Suicide Squad with montages and everything, except one. They don't bother with a montage introduction. They're not in the dossier at their presentation, but they're just kind of there at the start of the mission. Sure. And then 30 seconds later, they get killed off.
Oh.
It's like, you didn't fool us. You didn't bother introducing them. We're not surprised they're dead. Did I talk about the
unicorn?
The unicorn. Okay, yeah. Then I won't again. Because that's how are you that bad at filmmaking? It's so overtly terrible.
Yeah, but James Gunn's got it now, so it'll be fine.
Sure,
maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, I like James Gunn's.
I mean,
films.
That doesn't make that Suicide Squad redeemable. It would just make the second one maybe not as bad as the first one.
Well, it is 100% less Will Smith. So, I mean, that's.
As and with Batfleck, he's not the problem with that movie.
True. Yeah. It's
more like the Daredevil Affleck thing. Like, he still wasn't good in it, but there were far worse things going on around him.
Yeah, there was Elektra, and she was the worst.
There was the entirety of the story and music and editing and everything.
I liked
the guy's
Bullseye.
Bullseye was having fun. He was having fun.
Colin Farrell looked like he was that. That's one of the movies that I consider him good in.
He was that movie's Raul Julia.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
I'm just going to have all the fun in the world. I am at an all the scenery you can eat buffet, and I am going to chew the shit out of it.
Yeah, he's Colin Farrell has been in surprisingly a lot of bad films, but he's usually good in them.
Yeah, no, he's fine.
It's like the recent Fright Night, which I haven't seen, but I've heard good things about.
Yeah, I enjoyed it well enough. Zappity.
Zappity.
I'm going to flap my ribbons some more.
All right. Just hear a crack, and then you just fall over.
Just snap my own neck. Another Joker reference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of Joker reference, did you see my post about the wrestling event?
No.
So there was a guy in the match that was using a crowbar.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
And somebody in the audience yelled, Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
And I think I was like one of only two people to laugh at it. But, you know, hey, come on. You make a good Jason Todd joke, I'm there. I'm all for it.
They should have had the audience vote. Everybody in attendance, should I beat him to death with this crowbar?
Did I tell you my friend, friend Sean voted on that? That he was...
Did he vote to kill him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you've met Sean, so I mean, that's pretty much...
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
I'm not surprised.
Would you ever leave America to live somewhere else?
Yes.
I did say no politics.
This isn't politics.
I guess not. If so, where?
It's only politics if we go desperately because this hellhole's run by Republicans. hypothetically, if I said that.
Yeah.
Germany, specifically Würzburg, is a very beautiful city. It's a great country. You know, they're sorry for what they did, and they're better now. But it's wonderful.
It was popping into my head before, but I didn't mention it because you were eloquently going through your story. The show I watched, The Mysteries of the Abandoned, one of the things that they were going over is the gigantic no man's land that's in between East and West Germany.
Oh,
that was
sure.
filled with mines. It started off as just like a small little fence.
Yep.
And then it just slowly grew into, you know, having watchtowers and mines and, you know, like out, basically like 1% of the people who attempted to go, try to cross that border are the ones who survived. Otherwise, everybody was
once it was
shot,
in full lockdown mode, it was just death if you tried.
Shot, mined, you know, and it's horrible.
But, yep.
It was a really neat thing, but I mean, they're really neat as in seeing the, you know, what was remaining of it, because they obviously demined it, but like all the watchtowers are still up and parts of the walls are still up. So I love that show. That show is awesome.
So Germany, or if I magically could know the language, or if I thought a higher percentage of people there were English speakers, I would be interested in South Korea for a while. Because
you just want some more K-pop.
I want more K-pop. I want more episodes of Genius and other such things. But Korea gets underappreciated. Like, for some reason, Americans who kind of obsess with Eastern Asian culture tend to just zoom straight into Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and the anime and stuff like that, it makes sense why. But South Korea is a really cool country with a lot of interesting cultural stuff. That's not the word I was looking for, but whatever. China's scary, though.
Yeah, I would not want to go to China. Japan would be something I would be very interested in. One, I would be a giant. And two,
think that's racist?
Yeah, maybe.
But casually racist, so it's okay. That's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not getting a job at SNL anytime soon, so there I should be fine.
No one can take that away from him. God. Except for SNL.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would have been... His stupid... we're talking about somebody that got hired and fired from SNL like within a week. I don't think he even was on an episode.
He was not.
But yeah, he went on... Basically, recently, and this isn't something that they dug up on him from a while ago.
It was less than a year.
Less than a year, him and his buddy had a podcast, and they were just going down a racist rabbit hole.
Listen... As a stand-up comedian, sometimes you have to be edgy, and to be edgy, sometimes you'll offend people. This is somehow topical when I'm just spewing racist terminology on a podcast in my basement.
Yeah, and not like when we actually end up, because we do sometimes jump down that rabbit hole, but we usually preface it as well, immediately, either before or after. And that's not saying that's right. But it's more right than what he did.
Well, and the thing is, it's so I think the confusing thing is that some really talented comics can go that route, but it's the target matters, right? Mm-hmm. When you are saying those terrible things and your target is the people that you're saying them about or that those words refer to, mm-hmm. that's not edgy or cool. That's just you being a racist piece of shit. If you're doing it as some kind of subversion where you're actually attacking society for using those terms,
sure,
you know, like before he ruined his career by being a creepy sex pervert and apologizing badly about it and ruining everything by making fun of shooting victim school children, Louis C.K. had a phenomenal bit where he said the N-word.
Oh, yeah.
But the focus of the bit wasn't using the N-word. It was talking about how whites who have power in society use the term the N-word to get away with saying the actual N-word. It's mm-hmm. like your code isn't isn't fooling anybody. Yeah. You're calling that person the word you're refusing to use, but you're just getting away with it.
Because you're using abbreviation.
Right. Yeah. And so as part of that bit, he uses the actual word, but again, he's not using it to attack people of color. He's using it to attack the powerful people who are abusing that system.
And pointing out the
yeah.
The
and that's being edgy. Yeah. That's pushing boundaries as part of your comedy. Sitting in your basement talking about those effing, you know, blanks to talk about how terrible Chinatown is not.
No, no. No. Yeah. That's yeah. Zaffany?
Grom pal.
I said we'd no politics.
Sorry, racism is bad. A real real edgy.
But yeah, Japan, I think, would be the place I'd want to go. I think that would be neat. Germany would also be something, but like kind of what you're talking about. Well, English is a pretty good second language over there.
Oh, it absolutely is.
As compared to here where, you know, we don't learn anything else.
Everybody in Germany speaks English. Yeah. Like, it's absurd.
All right. So, Zavity, Grubble, what is your favorite dish to cook at home?
Speaking of Germany, I have a cookbook, that I didn't steal it. He moved out and left it behind, but an old roommate had a cookbook called Help My Apartment Has a Kitchen that had fairly simple recipes and they had little mom tips and stuff.
I lost my cookbook. That said,
it
help.
Wasn't you. It was a previous roommate. But anyway, yeah, Netherlands, any place, in like the Scandinavian territories, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, they've all got, phenomenal standards of living. So, Netherlands is also a great recommendation, John. But anyway, it has also a very good
healthcare
sauerbraten recipe.
Okay. You got me on that.
I mean, sauerbraten's good stuff. It's normally sauerbraten is a very, very, very slow cook recipe. But this one, like, you slice it until it only cooks in like a couple hours as opposed to like an all day thing.
Sure.
But
sure.
No. So it's got a really good sauerbraten recipe. Otherwise my go to recipe is just a dip. I've got a really good dip I make for parties.
I think others have liked it, but my favorite food to cook is my chili.
I like your chili.
My chili is interesting. It did get a label last time I took it to an event.
Yeah?
It said too spicy on it.
No. Your chili is the correct amount of spicy. People who think your chili is too spicy are just used to eating like Hormel. Like, chili should have some kick to it.
Yeah, it's got a little. Unfortunately, I'm not the true chili aficionado. I do put beans in my chili.
Yeah,
that has upset some Texans.
Yeah,
but hey, you know, I put what I want in my chili.
Also, Texans have the worst opinion on food because they also think barbecue is nothing but 50 pounds of black pepper and no sauce.
Yeah,
like, I'm sorry, but barbecue is sauce. It's not the thin vinegar stuff. It's not just black pepper. It's the thicker barbecue sauce, St. Louis style.
I like a good rub, and that's basically what you're talking about there, is that you're having a rub with salts and peppers and such. And
yeah,
and
but Texas style is like nothing but black pepper.
Yeah,
like it doesn't have like whatever.
Yeah,
blarg,
Zappity. I thought we were not getting political.
Yeah, it's fine. All my exes live in Texas. I can badmouth that state.
That is actually legitimately true.
It is legitimately true that all my exes live in Texas.
If you had to learn a foreign language, what would it be? I think that would probably go with where we want to live.
Yeah, probably. It would come in handy. Plus, learning German, you can watch all those World War II movies and not need subtitles.
True.
Although, even if I was going to go live in Germany, I would still probably want to learn. So, most currently useful would be Spanish, of course.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, if I moved to Germany, German would not necessarily be that useful because, as I said, there's a lot of in Europe, they tend to be bilingual and all speak English because as a matter of necessity, it's extremely convenient.
Extremely convenient. And it's almost a mandatory thing in school is to have a second language.
So even though I didn't pick it as my place to live, I am enough of an anime weeaboo that would be handy to know Japanese.
I know some Japanese.
Plus, I can make fun of bad tattoos.
Yeah, that's true, too. I think I would like to continue my courses in Japanese. I know some. I know when is your birthday? I know that.
When is it?
It's a Otanjobi Isu desu ka?
That's Japanese for June 13th?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Your birthday is June 13th?
Yeah.
I had never paid attention.
In the Friday the 13th reboot, the original Pamela Voorhees murders take place on my actual legit birthday. Same year and everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Japanese. All right, and that was from Sean. And Sean asked, Brian asks, would you want a dev job with Privateer Press?
I didn't take it the first time they offered it to me, and nothing has changed.
I mean, was the reason why was more so pay?
Seattle is expensive.
Yeah.
And moving is expensive. Yes, yes. I mean, I absolutely would have taken the job if it paid three times as much. I probably would have taken it if it paid twice as much. Yeah. I definitely would have taken it if it paid half again as much and I was single.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as a married man, I could not move to a place that costs twice as much to live at than where I currently live. For unfortunately, like, nobody's getting rich in the miniatures game.
No, there's so field. Many, so many companies out there right now.
Yeah. Especially not like, yeah, Privateer Press, you know, they're not a nobody, but they're not GW. Like, maybe the CEO of GW is making money you should be jealous of. Nobody else is making money you should be jealous of in the miniatures companies.
Yeah. It's like a passion project. It's why we do why I do the podcast here is because I enjoy it. I'm not making money doing this podcast thing. I'm spending money consistently for this podcast thing. Buy our nice attire.
Sign up for Patreon. We're broke.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to. I need to reboot that to do some more things with that. Yeah. What was the question? Do I want a dev job with PP? I think it would be cool. I am single-ish.
Ignoring the pay aspect, though, it's got to be there's an old phrase that says, "Do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life." Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, there's a phrase saying that, like, never do your hobby for work because then you can't separate, you know, and you just can't. Like, if you do what you enjoy as your job, the lines blur, and they don't always blur in the way where you enjoy your job. They sometimes blur in the way where you hate your hobby.
Yeah, and that drives you away. You know, the thing that you've spent so many years crafting and having fun in, like, yeah, it just ruins it.
And not to lend credence to a certain bridge burning rant that somebody posted on a certain website, but it isn't like if you become a developer for a company like Privateer Press, they just give you the keys to the kingdom and say, here, design all our new models. Everything you say goes. You have free reign. You still answer to other people, and that can be frustrating because let's say you are the absolute best designer in the world.
Yeah.
You'll know that these are good changes, and sometimes the board or the owner or the president or whoever's above you will say, nah.
Yeah.
And then what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, then you – well, here's what you probably should do is you get a bunch of folks together and go start your own company.
Yeah, but then then it ain't War Machine no more, right?
No, no. But Jim brought up a good point when I was talking to him, Bratz, their system is probably one of the best systems out there. The 2d6 plus skill point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like some of the other games where you see them rolling 5d20s with a bunch of d6s and d4s and It's simple. It's easy math.
And the boost mechanics, genius. Yeah. You know, to mess with the math. Like, it's a wonderful system. Sure.
Yeah. I'm curious why some other company hasn't. I don't know if you can actually. Can you actually copyright mechanics like that? So yeah, why isn't somebody just done something similar to that in their own style?
Yeah, I'm not certain.
This is kind of like when we were originally talking too. It's like the Mompoc mechanic. You know, just being able to, you know, you have your dice that are used for two different phases, and you use them to do everything with. And that was such an awesome system. And I'm glad that they brought it back in Mompoc again. But yeah, I'm surprised for those many years that Mompoc did not exist at Privateer that wasn't thrown into some other game from them.
Yeah, with board games, it happens a lot. Like, you'll see a core mechanic that's very well done. Like, somebody will just come up with something new, mm-hmm. and they'll say, this is this new element that we have, and then it'll spread, and other games will take it, and they'll add on these hodgepodges. But you haven't really seen that in the miniatures games as much so far, and I don't know if that's just because everybody designs their game from the ground up, and so it's harder to just implement something from another game without building the whole system around it, or if it's that it's a smaller pond, and so it's more frowned upon. Like, you can get away with stealing the VP mechanic from a board game because there's hundreds of them coming out every single year. Fair. Whereas with miniatures games, if you just come on the board and you just are using the same mechanics as another miniatures game, it might be more, frowned upon.
Guild Ball exists.
Sure, but its core dice mechanic is extremely different.
That's true. That's true. That is different there. That's
like, it was designed by War Machine players, but almost nothing in it feels like War Machine. It's got the focus thing,
even
then it's different.
It has, it basically runs off of the focus mechanic, and then there's the other resource, which is basically still focus, but it's just called something different too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the question?
Work as a designer for Privateer Press.
Yeah. Also, I feel kind of, I don't want to point too much at that subject, though, too. If you're anonymously posting something on a website, then you should probably keep that anonymous.
Oh, the distracted boyfriend meme that somebody posted in the Scorns meme was wonderful.
I don't think I saw it.
So it's the topical person is the distracted boyfriend, and the girlfriend he's with is, I don't wish any ill will, I don't mean to burn any bridges, and everything's
the
wonderful.
The other one's
and then the one walking past is the anonymous review.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, it's fine. I'll talk shit about that guy all day long. He's a pile of garbage.
Yeah. I should see if I could try to bring this up and post it up on the site. I don't know if I could do this. Initial reactions to the WTC data, through the preliminary data. Something like Infernals, they had, four wins and two losses for the top 666%.
Whoa!
Well,
66.7. 66666!
Yeah.
The data looked okay. Scorn's a little higher than it should be. I think it's still Battle Engine spam is stronger than it needs to be. So probably something needs to be done about Scorn's Battle Engines, but very subtly. Don't just annihilate them and make them unplayable. But I don't know that anything was really terrible. Minions are way down there, but the thing with minions is that it's a small sample size, and I feel like they probably just get thrown under the bus a lot. And the format's weird, right? The team format's weird because a lot of losses are, you still try to win, but you throw a lamb to the lions.
Correct.
And the lamb would have beaten a pile of alfalfa, but correct, that's not what happened.
Yeah, yeah. You could have had like your best member of your team be thrown into a bad matchup, and that's the only thing I love. I love the team tournament things, but trying to draw relevant data over something that's not arbitrary to the game is bad data.
For lack of a better term, some losses are on purpose.
Yeah.
like I said, they still tried to win, but you're like, yeah, have your 10%er.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we could give you a 50-50 and then I'd have a 50-50, or we can give you a 10 and the rest of the team all gets 90s.
Yeah.
Right? Like, 5 50s is worse than 2 10s and 3 90s.
Correct.
In a format like this.
But that's not to say that it isn't good data, but it definitely needs to have that asterisk next to it, that it was drawn from a team tournament. If it was from a solos and you had all those players in there, that would be a completely different story. Because then it's also, I guess that also goes to player caliber as well.
And even beyond when the rubber hits the road, so to speak, the lists themselves are warped because you can't repeat casters within your team.
True.
When you limit what people can choose from, you also warp what they will choose. Something's happening.
No, I'm
behind the scenes stuff going on from Andy here. Oh, it's for the next question.
No, you can ask a question. I'm gonna try to see if I can get this.
Jacob Collins asks, do you think a North American hosted WTC is viable? No. I don't think so, because I think that such a vast majority of players are Europe-based that the expense would be extremely cost-prohibitive. Like, as frustrating as it is for the people from America to have to travel to Europe, because we can argue that most players are in America. Oh, no sound. No sound, says chat.
Should have sound.
Hopefully there's sound now. Maybe chat will let us know if we have sound now.
I mean, we had people listening. I was just trying to add in other things, so okay. I don't think I'm going to be able. Okay.
So it's probably just a that person problem. So anyways, I was saying, like, even though most players live in America because it's the birth country of the game, the WTC, they couldn't have the team count be based on player count. Otherwise, America would have 90 teams and every other country would have one, and that wouldn't be fair. So because of the number of teams involved being predominantly European, the cost would be extremely prohibitive for most players to have to come here.
Correct.
But we have the ATC.
Yeah, ATC exists over here. It's getting larger. It's at probably one of the best venues right now.
Which, in case you're tuning in late, is Adepticon 2020.
Yep, Adepticon 2020, and it's also centrally located. Pretty much, if you are flying from any place in the Americas, Chicago is a big hub.
Yeah,
for that,
much lower cost for, and not, yeah, the cost to come and attend because of O'Hare versus Milwaukee International Airport is going to be a big deal for people traveling. Yeah.
And there's, besides, I mean, getting into a hotel directly at Adepticon is challenging, but there's a lot of hotels within shuttle distance away.
Correct.
If you get in touch with a local, that's something that we could always. I'm throwing this out there on the fly, but if we have enough locals there, like members of the WITC and the ATC team, we might be able to set up like rides,
possibly,
where we could pull people in.
Because Adepticon's not as bad as like Gen Con yet, right? Like when Gen Con, the hotels go on sale, it's every hotel in the city and they all sell out within the day. Like the hotel Adepticon is at sold out right away, but there are still plenty of hotels within Uber or shuttle distance. So it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Zappity, your phone's off now.
Have any of you watched The Dark Crystal on Netflix?
Yes! Oh, it's so good.
I have not.
It's so goddamn good.
I have not.
It's so good. Spoilers, it's going to be my recommendation at the end of this episode. I've been waiting, but since I forgot to last week and we didn't record the week before that, because last week I forgot that we didn't record the week before, so I assumed I had already recommended it the week prior.
I think you did, actually.
Did I? Well, I'm going to recommend it again, goddammit. It's
not, but
good.
Not yet. That's not the time of the show yet.
Oh, yes, I have.
And Don had mentioned that he only watched the first episode, and it taught me a lot about disappointment.
Oh, you are wrong. You are very wrong.
I want a Chamberlain book that's a Chamberlain book that's forwarded by Hodor.
Sure. There are spin-off novels, and they include some good Chamberlain stuff.
Yeah. I haven't watched it because I was really trying to put aside the time frame to watch the original, and that's when I learned, I believe last week or maybe the week 3 weeks before, that it is a full-on prequel.
Yep.
And I didn't realize that, so I haven't sat down to watch it. I've been busy on all my weekends. I think this coming weekend I'm actually not busy doing something.
Like,
be awesome.
They're puppets, like. If that bugs you, it bugs you. The Gelfling design is a little Uncanny Valley-ish, so I can get that if the actual appearance of the Gelfling creep you out. Sorry. But all the rest of the puppets are amazing. The characters are really good. The storyline's really good. The effects are shockingly good. Yeah, no, I did, because I talked about the Wanderer and the Heretic as being two of my favorite characters, because they are an extremely interesting twist on the mythos.
Hmm.
I remember that now. Good talk.
Zappity.
Burble.
What is the one faction in any game that you refuse to play and why? In any game. That's a... I refuse to play the fifth tribe in Five Tribes.
Whoa! Hey!
I can't say why, because they don't include them. How is a game that's called Five Tribes doesn't have five tribes? Or no, it's got an expansion for more tribes, but you still play only four tribes.
There were five tribes in the game, but it's a four-player game.
Yeah.
You aren't the tribes. And the expansion adds a sixth tribe, so Five Tribes is a four-player game with six tribes in it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
He's a Wookiee from Keshik, but he lives on Endor. He doesn't live on Endor. That's what's double dumb about the Chewbacca defense, is that not only doesn't it make sense to defense, it's not even true. He doesn't live on Endor. He visited it briefly on a mission. Chewbacca lives on Keshik. We know this because his family lives there.
That would be literally saying that I live in Lansing.
Yeah.
Because I showed up there for a Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon.
How dumb would it be if Johnny Cochran claimed that you lived in Lansing?
Oh, I forgot that. That was Cochran that did that.
I'm going to go.
We're not getting political.
I'm going to go with the rat catchers in Guild Ball because it annoys Andy.
No.
See?
No. Why are you doing that?
I just told you.
You want them. You want Squeak.
See how good this is?
No, it's not good at all because you can make me cry.
Good stuff. Zappity.
I'll cry. I'll get you one day. I didn't even say what... Oh, I guess I did say what
yeah,
it was
made
the whole Five Tribes stupid rant. Yeah, what faction will I not play? My faction I will not play is Napoleonics, because I'm going to stay young forever.
Yes, the instant you start playing any actual, like, historical miniatures, you instantly are a 60-year-old man.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay, because I want to stay young, so I'm gonna play not Napoleonics.
And it doesn't matter your physical age, the instant you play a Napoleonic game, you are a 60-year-old man.
Oh, we're game-shaming them. That's...
There's nothing wrong with being a 60-year-old man.
These are itchy.
Yeah, they're a little itchy here on the cheeks. And they crush your nose a bit. I got the Scottie Pippen nose going on.
Oh, mine's actually fine.
Maybe, well, I'm sorry. Maybe you don't have as prominent a nose.
It's probably because mine's not all the way tied. Oh, yeah.
It kind of squishes the nose down. But that's okay. I didn't need that nose to not be broken anyway.
It's right here. It's itchy, but I can't affect it because this is like leather-ish right here. So even if I like touch here, it doesn't actually itch.
Zappity.
We did have one that was on Twitter, which, oh shit. All right, talk about something.
Okay. I can talk
I forgot the one of the other questions. I was gonna put out the video behind us, but I don't know how to do that yet because I'm I literally set that up at 3 p.m. today. not a green screen. It's not a green screen. It's
the banner.
It's the banner with the Buseys running on it. But there was the one more question there that.
Oh, this year's WTC drama, the forest being bumped so that a caster was in Killbox, and that may or may not have directly led to that player winning, and thus their team winning, and thus the placement being off.
Yeah.
I don't remember the term they had. It was like nudge gate or something.
Yeah, you can check it out on looks like that somebody had posted on Twitch. I mean, it looks innocuous. It doesn't look like it's...
It was definitely inadvertent.
Yes.
There is no doubt in my mind that the player who bumped the forest and thus took his opponent's caster, they probably were in the kill box, and that probably did take them out of the kill box. So that bump probably did win them the game. But there's no doubt in my mind it was inadvertent. And so my big takeaway from that is if the player whose caster it was... When they had moved, because apparently it had been killboxed the turn prior, and then they moved, and then they got bumped back. when they moved, they should have said, all right, I am moving up. I am moving out of the kill box.
Yes.
I am measuring. We can see that he's not in the kill box anymore.
Correct.
Agreed? Agreed. High fives.
Yeah.
Because then there is no doubt when he suddenly is that something must have happened. Oops, we bumped the forest. Let's fix it. You announce that intent when it happens and you're safe.
Yeah. You don't want to have a Keith incident where Deathjack is he's like,
right.
I'm putting him into melee with this guy. Okay. Oh, he's not in melee.
Yeah, well, because he didn't announce, right?
Yeah.
Or base-to-base with flag. We've seen that as well. People will move up something. They'll move it base-to-base to a flag.
Yep.
They won't announce that it's base-to-base with the flag.
Yeah.
Because we saw this at a War Machine Weekend tournament a couple mm-hmm. years ago. They moved, they got base-to-base with the flag. The flag got bumped, or the model got bumped. But at the end of the turn, when they went to score, that model was a 16th of an inch away from the flag.
Yep.
And their opponent's like, you must have not based the flag. Well, when you place the model, if you say, this guy's base to base with the flag, do we agree?
Yes.
There is no question.
Just about every single argument that happens in wargaming can be solved with just clean communication.
Correct.
Just announce your intentions. You know, that not everything has to be a surprise type thing. You're like, oh, surprise, I based the flag, I win now.
Right.
Like, no, it just you announce your intentions, and it also it makes it a better game overall, because like if you don't announce that you pace base to base, you know, your opponent can, I mean, he might have the option of trying to kill that model if he knows that it's going to be
correct,
be a scorer or something like that. It's yeah, just be clean and talk about shit that you're doing.
Yes, because there, as long as there are physical models and physical tape measures and physical terrain,
yeah,
things will always be bumped and things will always shift. It's always gonna happen, and so the only way to avoid it is to make sure everything is cleanly announced and agreed upon.
Yep. And the last question here is, have you played the new Doom board game? Is it fun? And best number of players?
So it's basically the original Dune board game. It's just, like, in case they actually didn't realize, it isn't a new game. It's just a new edition of an old Dune board game from the late 70s. I did play a week ago yesterday,
mm-hmm.
played my old copy of the of Dune using the few changes that the new edition has, and I extremely, extremely enjoyed the changes that the new edition has. For those who are familiar with the original game but not the new one, the main changes they did is the Fremen gained an advantage where if you're playing with advanced combat where you have to pay spice to keep your troops at full strength,
mm-hmm.
the Fremen don't have to pay. Their troops always fight at full strength,
okay.
Which continues with their shipping and their reviving, where Fremen basically just get everything for free except for cards. They also gave the Fremen an ally power. It doesn't replace, it's just an additional ally power where you can make your allies' revives be free, so they'll get all three of their troops for free instead of having to pay. And the Emperor gained an ally power because technically in the original edition they didn't have one. They gained the ability to buy additional resurrection troop resurrections for their opponent that they can pay out of pocket. So if you're the Emperor's ally, you can get up to 6 revives per turn instead of just 3. The first 3 you'll pay for like normal. The 4th, 5th, and 6th they can choose to pay for. Although I guess they could choose to pay for the 2nd and 3rd, and you don't have to pay for yours. Like, it's not restrictive like that, but they can buy up to 3 more. Anyway, extremely enjoyed those new changes. The Emperor needed an ally power, and the Fremen needed to be more powerful, so I liked those changes.
So you didn't have the cards and stuff like that for...
There are no new cards. The cards are all the same as the ones I already have.
Okay.
No component has changed physically. I mean, the player aids have changed to reflect these changes. So my player aids were slightly inaccurate. But just a few rules tweaks like that. The map's identical. Everything's identical apart from those changes. And so I love the Dune game already, and I agree with all these changes. So wholeheartedly recommend. Only ever play with 6. Maybe 5. Like, if you arrange to play with 6 and somebody dies on the way to your play, your game session, then you could play 5 without the Benny, but never purposely choose to play without 6. The game is only designed for 6.
Fair. Yeah, if somebody does die on the way out, you know, hold a small vigil, you know,
correct,
like 5 minutes, and then start playing.
The only thing I could maybe see doing... No, I lied. It would be terrible. Like, the new edition limits alliances to 2 players per alliance. There are no three-player alliances. So, like, in theory, you could play, like, a three-player game where each person controls an alliance. But then you'd have to have something where, like, when the nexuses happen, you change. Like, you have your main team who you are, and then your ally. And, like, when a nexus happens, you can, like, rearrange each person's secondary faction, maybe. But that would be really convoluted and not worth doing. It's better just to play at six.
Yeah, I was going to say, any progress you have made with your secondary faction would just be lost. Or might not be the path that you wanted to go into.
Correct. Well, or I mean, it's like the real game. Like, if they made progress with this alliance, but now I decide it's more profitable to go to this other alliance. But the issue with this is that if you're going to do, like, a main faction, secondary faction, you're always just going to throw your secondary faction under the bus.
Yeah.
So if a nexus happened, you would just say, you're no good to somebody. So just play with six. I don't know if you have more input than that. I know I'm the big Dune guy.
I have absolutely no input because I've never played the game.
You could have played 8 days ago.
I could have. What was I doing? I was trying to get a board. I think that's what it was. Was it? Oh no, I was
going
to go.
You
for
were
my
thinking about going.
I was
going to
go for the return trip, yeah, and I couldn't find a vehicle big enough. I need a 4x4 foot vehicle. I might just see if I can get railings put up on my top of my car.
Since you're not going to the Michigan GT, if you want to, you can play 22 days from now, because I'm probably going to do a board game day on that Saturday, because I'm not going to the Michigan GT either.
Oh.
So keep that in mind.
I thought Team 2 was possibly going to happen.
Nah.
Or is it just, I'll probably be up for that.
Hooray! Board game day!
Is
October
your place?
That'd probably be inconvenient for people to all have to drive out to my house. That's the problem with living where I live.
Yeah, you're the USA of the WTC.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, I'd love to host, but it's,
I mean, the only viable way I could see it, it would have to be in a major hub city. It would but that would also make it so it's extremely expensive to host it there and for the rest of the world to travel there.
Yeah, it just... That's literally why the ATC exists.
Yes.
Is because the an American hosted WTC just is not going to happen.
Oh. I was wondering what those were, and I guess they're like...
You got flames on the back of your head.
Is it flames or like a lightning bolt?
No, they're flames.
Oh.
They're flames.
I should have looked at my thing before I put it on.
Well, there's a lag. Like, point the back of your head at the camera and then just spin around real quick so you can see.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't point it well enough.
No, I can see it in the quick view.
Yeah, see, they're like flames.
Yeah. The best part is when you start doing shit like this.
Oh, you know what we forgot to discuss?
What?
Oh, my God, did the egg get robbed?
The egg?
The egg absolutely outsaying the skeleton this absolutely the egg outsaying the skeleton. The issue is the skeleton is obviously some... hugely important classical figure in like Vegas showmanship or something.
Okay.
It's somebody who's like 80 years old and can't sing, but they got respect for him, so they didn't get voted off.
Oh.
I think now some people might claim that the singing style wasn't bad. It was just like avant-garde, that it was more like a spoken word thing. Like they chose to do Rapper's Delight instead of like, so you had a like 80-year-old person who can barely walk in a skeleton costume rapping Rapper's Delight. But anyway,
when you say avant-garde, though, there's only one singer that even comes to my mind that would be avant-garde. And we could probably say it. We could do it in sequence, like 1, 2, 3, and then say who it is. Because I think you would probably think of
I know who did the spoken word performance that everybody knows of, you know, if you're thinking of that.
No, I'm just saying when I think of an artist that's avant-garde, that's weird, is Bjork.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
No. Because she has a beautiful singing voice as well. It's just bizarre. This person, like the skeleton when he sang, so he did a rap for the Rapper's Delight, but they have a new thing this year where the two that get like put up to be eliminated by the public vote, then they have like a sing off where like they each sing like one little snippet. And then I feel like just the judges then voted to eliminate one of them. I can double check. I don't think it was universal again. I think it was just the judges. But in that sing off, the skeleton actually did a song and they were very like, this is how I'm singing and it doesn't really sound good and it's raspy. And it's like, that's not good singing. But some people would think it's just like kind of, and I didn't like it.
They might think it's like a Hank Williams or, you know, kind of like a,
Yeah, I think it's just like somebody who's famous as like a comedian or something that can't sing. Like their guest so far was Martin Short for the skeleton. But Martin Short can sing, which is why I don't think it's Martin Short. I would think more like...
Was he doing Jiminy Glick? Because
that was
that kind
of like raspy voice. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like the Jiminy Glick singing.
Yeah. So, I mean, he could actually be doing it as Jiminy Glick, too.
So which
that
it was
would
Martin
throw
Short.
Everybody off.
But yeah. So I think the egg got robbed, but Raylene and I did successfully guess who the egg was based on the clues.
Oh, okay. So they gave, have clues. Do they unmask anybody yet then?
Yeah, the egg got eliminated, so they unmasked the egg, and Raylene and I were correct about who that was. And then we were correct that it was a gay Olympic athlete. And it was, I don't know if we want spoilers, it was Johnny Weir, the figure skater.
Oh,
Slash fashion designer.
Figure skating.
So, yeah, so it was, we were correct about him. And then the other one, we didn't know who it was because it was, you know, kids these days. But it was, you might actually care because, like, Heroes of the Storm and League of Legends and all mm-hmm. those, like, esporty shits. It was Ninja.
Oh, he was. Well, Ninja. He's more of a Fortnite.
Ninja was the ice cream cone. And okay. He cannot sing. Spoilers, Ninja really, really cannot sing. So he got obliterated in a sing-off by the Ladybug, who was really good and only was down in the sing-off because her first round sing was up against the Rottweiler, who might be the best singer on the show. Like, being the second best singer against the best singer just means you got fucked over. You know. But then she just annihilated Ninja in the sing-off.
I'll have to... I know what happened on Thursday. It's the Packer game.
Oh, sure.
And that was a very horrible Packer game to watch, too, because they were down at the end zone.
When it's
twice.
First and goal on the one, you should just throw four incomplete passes.
Yeah. And then when you're going to tie the game, you should just throw an interception when you're at goal.
Like, oh, my Lord. First and goal on the one. Just run it four times. You'll get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Rottweiler, though, I think is Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Because they really made it look like he was a football player, but he sings way too good to be a football player, and he's too small to be a football player. But more importantly, he was showing off like a Super Bowl style ring, and it said fantasy football. And he talked about like, you know, when I get under those Friday Night Lights. So I think it was actor from Friday Night Lights. So I'm going Michael B. Jordan.
Could be Michael Vick.
I don't think it was on Friday Night Lights.
That would be pretty horrible if he was coming out as a Rottweiler. I know, because they're fighting dogs. That's why.
Oh, this person said that they chose the Rottweiler because they wanted to overcome their fears because when they were a child, they were attacked by a Rottweiler and were bit by one.
I hate poodles.
Poodles are nasty, bitey, jerky dogs.
Yeah, and anything that's attached to a poodle as a name wise, I don't like them dogs.
Yeah, well that's fine.
I mean, I like
a labradoodle and whatever.
Yeah, fuck that thing. No. Well, something fucked it and made a labradoodle.
A labrador did. Yeah. Raylene thinks the ladybug is Paris Jackson, by the way.
Oh, she's been out of the limelight for a while.
Yeah. And the person who's the ladybug talks about, like, for the last year, they've been hiding themselves away because a lot of bad things happen in their life and stuff like that. Mm. And then they also talked about being from, they've been in the limelight since birth and that they come from a musical family. So Paris Jackson's not a bad possible choice for that one. I don't currently have theories on any of the other ones.
I missed that. That was the premiere episode.
Yeah. Okay. They had like a meet the cast 2 weeks prior was just like briefly. That doesn't really count. So this last episode was the first actual episode.
Okay.
And I fully summarized everything that happened. But if you want to catch up, you're only one episode behind. But it was a special 2-hour premiere episode, so you're 2 episodes worth of footage behind.
I think it's on demand, but I can just
it's
watch
on Hulu
week.
Every Thursday.
I don't get Hulu.
Oh. No. Okay. It's probably on
I don't
demand.
Subscribe to the Hulu.
Oh, no.
They kept on changing the menus on me. It confused me. I'm an old man. I don't like it.
No, I can agree with that. I also hate that, like, in Hulu, if there's, like, a TV show and you navigate to it and you just hit, like, X on your PlayStation to go into it. Like in Netflix, that would bring up the little menu and then you could choose episodes.
Yeah.
With Hulu, it automatically starts playing either the first episode of the series or the most recent one you haven't watched, depending on if you've watched before. So you have to remember that you have to go to a different menu if you want to see the episodes list or even the summary of the fucking show.
Yeah, I remember having... Yeah. I mean, I already have Amazon Prime, so...
Well, there you go.
Amazon and Netflixes. And that's it. That was all the Zappity Grumbles.
Zuba Grabble.
Yeah. We got recommendations.
I already did mine.
I recommend Ugg.
The counselor from Salute Your Shorts?
No. Ugg is the unknown goose game.
Oh, Untitled Goose Game.
Untitled Goose Game. Yeah, not unknown.
Untitled
Players Unknown Goose Game? That would be amazing.
100 geese get dropped into an area that gets smaller and smaller, and you have to annoy people. Oh, man, a goose battle royale would be amazing.
I mean, everybody is making a battle royale. Actually, not so much anymore, but yeah, no. Untitled Goose Game, it is... Have you ever wanted to play as a goose and be an asshole to people? Because that's the game for it.
Yeah, it's simple, dumb, fun. Like, it's tailor-made for, you know, playing on the toilet, playing when you're laying in bed but not asleep yet. Like, get it on a Switch. Don't get it. I don't know if it's available on other formats.
I think it's on Steam and that. I don't think it's...
Don't.
No, it's definitely...
You're not going to sit down on your... Oh, boy, it's Untitled Goose Game time and just, like, sit down at your PC and get your mouse out. No. This is definitely going to be best on the Switch because it's just, I got 5 minutes to kill. I'm going to annoy a farmer.
Yeah. The best thing about it is it's a light puzzle game. So, I mean, it's not too difficult. I think I had to look up one thing.
There were a couple that took me a while. And so, but never too, I got the aha moments out of those, you know. Mm-hmm. Getting the bucket onto the burly man's head took me a while.
Oh, yeah. Getting to go there.
Correct. Well, yeah. I actually overthought it because I had what I thought was a eureka moment where I figured out there's a pointless... So in the tavern, you can pull out a cork and just drain their beer out of a beer barrel, which is just a dick thing to move. But there's also pint glasses laying around. So I was trying to pour a pint of beer for him.
I had tried stealing the pint glass. The thing is, though, he doesn't hold it right.
He does not hold it correctly. Yeah. I was like, rotate your head, Goose. I want to get a pint of beer for this bouncer. Maybe I could be friends with him.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a ton of things you could do in the game, too, that's... has nothing to do with the missions themselves.
Like the fact that there's no mission for switching the mail at the two people's houses. there's a street you go out onto and somebody's got a package and a neighbor's got a letter and you fucking better believe I put that letter on the other person's porch and put that package on the other guy's porch.
I did that too and I was looking to see if there's a way I can ring a doorbell so I just sat there and honking at the door.
Just honking at people.
Oh, yeah.
It's just dumb fun. There's no point. Like, there's the light puzzles, and you feel cool when you figure this stuff out, but there's not a story. There's not...
No, although, there's a story.
It ties up at the end pretty well.
There's a story. There's a very intense mission after you complete all the to-do lists, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that intense mission is... I mean...
Yeah, no, yeah. And I lied. There is a story. There's a lot... There's... It's one of those stories where the groundwork is laid early on, like right away, and then at the end, you get that flashback of realization that he was Kaiser Soze the entire time.
Yep, that's pretty.
The first thing that I saw in that game, I was obsessed with.
Yeah,
and I fucked around for like 10 minutes with it, and I couldn't get it to trigger. And it turned out, you know, I just needed to play.
Yeah, you just needed to finish a game. Yeah, no, I completely forgot about them until I got to the end. I'm like, oh, so yeah, yeah.
And that tells a big story.
It tells a very big story. It's possible that this has been happening for, yeah.
Yeah, this could be like a Groundhog's Day situation.
Or Groundhog's Day.
Not
or
really Groundhog's Day, though.
Generations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually. But then I would expect those signs up to be everywhere.
Right. Oh, the best thing to do is just steal the No Geese Allowed signs.
Just, I thought
fuck you.
I thought there was...
It's going in the lake.
That's how I get into the bouncer now. I don't even try to do the box thing. I just steal the sign so I can, and then he doesn't even notice it until I honk, and then he's like, "Hey, you got the sign," and then I run past him.
Yeah. I still like doing the box but jumping out of the box earlier and earlier. Like, I'm not going to wait all the way to the back. Like, as soon as she's past the bouncer, I'm just like, honk, and then I just waddle away like an asshole, head held high. Thanks for the ride, bitch. God.
I mean, the amount of programming, I mean, it didn't probably take them very long to master it, but they've fucking mastered the way that goose moves.
Mm-hmm. He's a cocky asshole.
He is. That poor boy. I have messed with that boy so much.
Fuck too. That kid. buy your toy back, punk.
Getting the other, that's one of the ones I had to look up, is the extra to-do list stuff.
Oh, I made the farmer buy his carrot back.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, the suggestion was his trowel.
Sure, sure. So nope, I stole a carrot.
I got that woman caught into her garage so many times. I would just walk over, grab a piece of fruit, and then honk, and then walk my way up into the garage, lay it down, and then walk out. And, yeah.
Yeah, I locked the farmer out of his backyard.
Yeah,
but it was actually kind of annoying because I wanted to be able to go in through the front gate. There's a gap in the hedge around the corner. I found eventually.
Yeah, but, I didn't.
But I eventually gave him his keys back and then stole something so that he would open the gate to get the thing back because I was that annoyed at not having an open gate.
Yeah. Honk. It's worth. What I think we might do one of these times is have, since now I got this thing going on back here potentially, of showing starting a new game and then just playing through it as we discuss
stuff. Yeah,
I don't know if we can actually do this with more podcast members, but
no, this is kind of a two person kind of thing. I think the green screen.
But yeah, no, I think that's about it. Do you have anything else?
I'm checking the release date on something that's going to launch in 2 days. Yeah, I'm going to recommend this since my actual recommendation I did earlier during the episode, so it technically doesn't count. Those are the rules. There was a game I recommended once upon a time a while ago, but it was Apple like iPad only. And it's coming out on Tuesday for the Nintendo Switch, so I want to re-recommend it for those of us who don't have Apple. But there's a game called 80 Days, which is based on the Around the World in 80 Days, Phineas Fogg, story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure style game where you'll do stuff, and it'll say, here's an event that happens. Do you do A, B, or C? And stuff will happen based on that. And it's just a race to go around the world in as fast as you can. And what's neat about the Apple version is that would actually, since it was network hooked up, you could see other people's progress. It's kind of like a leaderboard thing. I assume that'll carry over to the Switch as well. But it's really fun. It's got a lot of replayability because you can go a lot of different routes. You can try, finding the Northwest Passage because technically if you go north to the North Pole and walk 10 feet in a circle and come back south to England, you technically circumnavigated the globe. But, there's hazards up there and you can try going south through Africa into the Amazon rainforest. It's really neat. And there's a lot of like little hidden strategy and just the aesthetic is cool. The design is cool. It's got that steampunky thing going on. I very, very, very much enjoyed it for the period of time that I had an iPad, but I haven't had one for a while now, and so I'm excited to have this game again on the Switch.
Oh, that's what it was. I was wondering why. I was messing around with the computer, and I was trying to figure out why that I clicked on something and it didn't go away.
But you figured it out.
Figured it out. I have to actually stop this. I can't actually.
You can't do what?
I can stop it. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks, guys, for watching. Check us out on Patreon. We'll start talking about doing stuff there. Quick announcement. Our anniversary is coming up soon.
Is it?
In November.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
we've been doing this for a number of years now. 7 years. Lucky number 7.
Yep. So we'll see.
What was the date of the first one? What is our actual anniversary?
November 19th, I want to say.
Oh, so this is not our golden anniversary.
What's a golden?
Well, kind of like a golden birthday. I don't know if you know golden birthday.
No.
Golden birthday is when you turn the day age.
Oh, okay.
So if you're born on the 9th, your 9th birthday is your golden birthday. Was yours like your first or second or something that didn't
11.
Count? Yeah, 11. Mine was 13, as mentioned, June 13th. But yeah, your golden birthday is when you turn the age that is what it is. So another 12 years, and it'll be your golden birthday or our golden anniversary.
The surprise in chat is probably that's kind of why I wanted to do this episode. Anyway, thanks guys for watching. We'll see you guys next time. You can check us out, like I said, on Twitch, and I'll have the audio podcast episode posted tomorrow around noonish.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.